Good evening, everyone. On behalf of the members of the Methodist Church, I'd like to welcome members of the congregations from other churches in Knaphill. Thank you for joining with us on this cold Sunday evening at the start of our Jubilee week. We had a very lively service this morning, and we're carrying on with quite a lot of activities throughout the coming week, culminating next Sunday, when we're trying to find out a bit ourselves about what the other members of the church get up to, and also show some of the neighbourhood what we as a church are about. The details of the programme are on a duplicated sheet, of which you should all have a copy. Please take that away with you and feel very welcome to join in with any of the activities mentioned on that sheet. We welcome friends, old and new, to join with us. At the end of this service, there will be an opportunity to obtain tickets for one of the few activities where we're slightly conscious of a space restriction, and that's the concert next Saturday evening. And Vera Flood, who sat over on the there, will be at the back of the church with some tickets for anyone who, particularly members of our own congregation, who haven't yet had the opportunity to obtain them, or anyone else who wants to join with us. Also, we will be taking the opportunity, in true Methodist tradition, of availing you of the souvenir programme, which we prepared, setting out something of the history of this place and also what's going on now. It's quite a useful little memento, and that also will be available. But please don't feel that you have to dash out through the church doors at the end of the service to avoid our clutches, because by tradition on Sunday evenings we seem to spend a long time chatting after the service, so please feel free to talk with your friends and make new ones after the service. The final thing I have to do is welcome our preacher this evening, who is the Reverend Frank Himsworth, who is the superintendent minister for this circuit. So on your behalf, I welcome him and hand over to him now.
We rejoice together as we sing the hymn number 4 on our sheet, number 4, Stand Up and Bless the Lord, Ye People of His Choice.
Thank you.
We join in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come and worship God, our Father in heaven. We approach you as your children. We come to share our joys and our sadnesses with you. We come to speak with you and share our lives with you. We come as children to pour from our hearts the things which concern us, and we know that you will hear and share our joy and share our sadness. Strengthen and help us. O God, Jesus, Son and Saviour, we kneel before your cross. We look with sadness upon your suffering. We look with joy upon your resurrection. And glad we are that we can come today, another Sunday, another resurrection day, to be glad in worship and to look to you, and in seeing you, see the Godhead, in seeing you, see salvation, and see the road you would have us walk. O Holy Spirit of God, we sense your presence in our places of work, in our travels, in our leisure, in our rising and resting. O Spirit of God, we know that you are with us, working within us, strengthening us, guiding us, prompting us, day by day and moment by moment. O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, we worship you. O God, we come in penitence, sorry for all our shortcomings. Grant us forgiveness of all our sins, all our neglect. Grant us the strength and power of your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to live more faithfully day by day for you. So in worship and in penitence and in thanksgiving, we meet, thankful for the history of this church, the congregation that has met here over many years, thankful for those who showed their faith in past generations, thankful for those who have worked to maintain the message of Christ through worship here and through all that takes place in these premises. O God, we thank you. But above all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Saviour, for your word revealed to us in your holy book, and for our own salvation. So help us, looking to the future, faithfully to proclaim the gospel of Jesus, who died and rose again for us. O Father, accept our worship. Help us now to give this time wholly to you, to the honour and glory of Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We sing again. It is the first hymn on the hymn sheet, the hymn number 1, Spirit Divine, attend our prayers and make this house your home.
For the first lesson this evening, we turn to the Old Testament, to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 7. Example of where building problems beset even the church in its Old Testament form. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, reading from verse 11. When Solomon had finished the house of the Lord and the royal palace, and had successfully carried out all that he had planned for the house of the Lord and the palace, The Lord appeared to him by night and said, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place to be my place of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, or command the locusts to consume the land, or send a pestilence against my people, if my people, whom I have named my own, submit and pray to me, and seek me, and turn back from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, and forgive their sins, and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers which are made in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this house, that my name may be there for all time, and my eyes and my heart be fixed on it forever. And if you, on your part, live in my sight as your father David lived, doing all I command you, and observing my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish your royal throne, as I promised by a covenant granted to your father David, when I said, You shall never want for a man to rule over Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and if you go and serve other gods and prostrate yourselves before them, then I will uproot you from my land, which I gave you. I will reject this house, which I have consecrated in honour of my name, and make it a byword and an object lesson amongst all peoples. And this house will become a ruin. Every passer-by will be appalled at the sight of it, and they will ask, Why has the Lord so treated this land and this house? The answer will be, Because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of Egypt, and clung to other gods, prostrating themselves before them and serving them. That is why the Lord has brought this great evil on them.
We have come together to share in the celebrations of 50 years of this church building. We look back a lot further than that to celebrate the growth of the Methodist Church in this area. It's a time for looking back. Now here in the Old Testament, we look back at the time when Solomon had finished the building of the temple. They'd had a tent where they kept the holy things as they travelled in the wilderness. They'd had no proper building. But now at last they were settled. They had this capital city, Jerusalem. They built a temple. It was finished. And gladly, they began to worship there. And gladly, I trust, Solomon had a message from God in the temple. Because that's what the Church of God is all about, to receive God's message. And there he was, receiving it. We could easily apply it to today, couldn't we, as we look back? Things can distract us from the centrality of our faith in Jesus Christ. We can neglect the property, and passers-by say, they can't think much of that, can they? Won't get me going in there. Look at it. Isn't it a disgrace? We want to brighten up our frontage, tidy our notice boards and various things like that. Or people say, no, not for me, it's a disgrace. A small thing perhaps, but it's important as you pass by and see a place of worship. In the Old Testament, they looked there and we look back and we see how they built the temple, a centre, a place of worship, a hallowed place to be honoured. And it's still honoured to today, even though the temple that was built later by Herod is a ruin and not much of it is left. The Western Wall is still there. And we heard about it again this week because a gentleman got out of Russia and went there to pray. It's important today. And here we come and we think, looking back of this church. And as I've been looking a bit at the history of it, a certain Mr. Derry, who made his money out of ladies' underwear, I understand, made quite a lot of money and 50 years, just over 50 years ago, provided the bulk of the cash for building this place of worship. Thank you, Mr. Derry. He then thought, well, I'm still making money, and he used more money to build a slightly larger church than this for us at Byfleet, and at the same time built a rather gracious residence for the minister in Byfleet to live in. It's rather large. And he'd be amazed at what's happening at present. You see, we have the M25 motorway just near my house. Well, there's our garden, then there's a cricket field, and then there's an acoustic fence, then the motorway. But our present government says, you are suffering. Here is compensation. Have £18,000. Loss of value on the manse. I'm sure Mr. Derry would be staggered at such a figure. But that's what he did in the past. He helped to build this church, the church at Byfleet, and the manse in Byfleet. And then, of course, he gave his house down in Old Woking, the edge there, to the National Children's Home, my Methodist Children's Society. We're not using it much now, and I happened to be there this afternoon. And I was told, well, you see, they've sold off the bit of tennis courts here, and they're building some new houses. They're rather nice. I think they're 5-bedroom houses, £195,000 each. What would Mr. Derry think? I don't know who's getting the profit out of the £195,000. Is it the National Children's Home? Best of luck if it is. I doubt it. Somebody's bought a bit of that land and are making money out of it. We look back and we say we are grateful for people who were able to give in such a generous way, and maybe have a thought, oh, Mr. Bristow, are you a Christian? Don't buy helicopters. Help us. Is that what we want? Actually, I would rather that we as Christians, worshippers, worked hard together and did not rely on heavy handouts from other sources. That we give from our hearts and not say, will you give and I'll keep my bit. But we look back in the past, and today we're saying thank you for the past, that so much has been done in the past for us, bringing us to this present time when we can gather together in worship. As a Methodist church, we always work in a sort of collegiality, as ministers gathered in an area, sharing responsibility for a number of churches. And in our Methodist circuit here, right at this edge is Knaphill. We go right over to Walton and Weybridge and Shepperton. 10 congregations all together. And 5 ministers. We share work in that area. And we do that, I trust, joyfully, and share with you, all our congregations, our joy in the service of Jesus Christ. Building on the past. We're always building on what is past. Let us sing again. The second hymn on our sheet. Sing to the great Jehovah's praise, all praise to him belongs. Thank you.
Jesus is rejected. It was winter, and the festival of the dedication of the temple was being celebrated in Jerusalem. Jesus was walking in Solomon's porch in the temple, and the people gathered round him and asked, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? Tell us the plain truth. Are you the Messiah?" Jesus answered, "I have already told you, but you would not believe me. The things I do by my Father's authority speak on my behalf, but you will not believe, for you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never die. No one can snatch them away from me. What my Father has given me is greater than everything, and no one can snatch them away from me, from the Father's care. The Father and I are one." Thanks for God's word.
Jesus said, "My Father and I are one." It was in response to a challenge. Here we see Jesus is in the temple. Time and again you come back, you see, to the temple. And Christians come back to the temple, their own local temple. And here we have Jesus, it was winter, the festival of the dedication was being held, and Jesus was there walking in the temple precincts. If you go to Jerusalem, you can still walk in the temple precincts. From drawings and sketches of it, I used to say that the temple precincts were an area about the size of 2 football grounds, you know, the playing areas. Having been there just about a year ago, I suggest that it's a bit bigger than 2 playing fields of football grounds. It is an enormous area enclosed by the wall of the temple. Some of the arcading in the temple is still there. You can walk in the sheltered part. And Jesus was there. And he was talking to the people, answering their questions. And here is this challenge, you see. "Are you the Messiah? Come on, tell us the truth. Don't put us off." Of course, if he said yes, well, you're blaspheming. If he said no, well, finished. Jesus always had a good answer, didn't he? And here we have it. They were a bit confused at the end of it about his sheep and my Father's sheep. They're all one. My Father's people, my people. They're identical. I identify with the Father. God is Father. And it ends up, when we go on to read beyond our reading just now, that they didn't like it, because we read that once again the Jews picked up stones to stone him. They picked up stones to stone him. Did you see that terrible scene? At least I thought it was terrible. On part of the news this week of that stoning of a former soldier, police, secret police type in Haiti. I sometimes think of stoning of Stephen, you know, we think of it as picking up little pebbles and throwing. Nothing of the sort. That brief glimpse on that television newscast this week was of this man lying on his back and they were throwing boulders at him. And they wanted to stone Jesus because he identified himself with the Father. He was making a preposterous claim. How can we identify to be near God as he was doing? They objected. There he was, though, in the temple, you see. And here we come into our present time, and we too are in our temple, sharing in faith in God. And this present time, we looked at the past a little few minutes ago over there, looking at the start of things. We come into the present. And with Jesus, you see, we identify what matters is our faith in the Father in this present age. And I trust that some of you, many of you, most of you, are sharing in the Lent study courses that have been devised for our benefit. I trust that Knapp Hill Methodist Church, you haven't been too busy preparing for this Jubilee week that you're neglecting the Lent study course. You're not. Good. I see heads shaking here and there. But you see, this week, I've been at a conference today, and when I got back, I found my wife was reading the study booklet about for this Lent course. You know, what on earth is the church for? And she said, it says here on page so-and-so that the ministers are supposed to be preaching about the themes at the beginning of the week, each time. Did you, brother? It says we're supposed to be doing so. And the theme for this week is simply the question, why believe in God? Why believe in God? And the study starts by, you know, asking the question, God. If we were to go round the church, you see, and look for definitions of God, would we find many different ones? Is there within us a different understanding of the person of God? And it suggests we start there with a recognition that each of us may have a different idea of Him, our God. The Father, the Creator, the Maker, the ever-present being, the one who is always with us and around us. You know, we have different ideas when we think of God. Yes, at heart, it's the same idea, but there are different facets, you see, and maybe in the discussions this week, people will be putting, I trust, if they can verbalize it, different ideas about their belief in God. Sorry, belief in what they think of God, how they think of God. Because then it goes on, you see, having said, well, try and define God, then there's the difficult word, what do you mean by believe? What do you mean by believe? Ultimate faith, perhaps. Trusting, believing. Many years ago, I heard a story of a man I knew called Eric Beresford. I happen to remember his name. This is some 30 years ago. He was one of the evangelists at Cliff College, which is our Methodist lay college in Derbyshire. Training of evangelists, as some of you know. People can go there and simply come back to their own jobs and continue in their work. Some go into our ministry, some can just prepare as preachers, or come back into church work in general. Eric was there, and there were many people going to Cliff College at Whitsuntide. And in those days, people didn't have many cars. You came by train, you came by coach. And Eric was there by the station, the nearest rail station, to meet people and say, here is the coach, we've laid out a coach for you from here, you know, to the college. And Eric was collecting the fares. I mean, it wasn't free. You had to pay whatever it was. Was it an old sixpence or an old shilling? I don't know. But it was something small for the bus fare. And Eric sat there hour after hour, welcoming people with a cheerful smile on his face. Here you are, pushing as many in as possible, you know, at the standard fare. Later that day, he got the last bus back to the college and left his money bag on the wall. It was difficult getting back because he didn't have transport. The college didn't have transport. He wasn't free to go. And Eric kept saying to friends, oh, I've left the money, but not to worry. Trust in the Lord. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. He went back the next day. It was still there. Faith? Foolishness? Is that a belief in God? A trust in God? An evidence of it? An example of it or not? Of belief. He believed that in this instance God would care for the things about which many of his colleagues were worried. We'd panic, wouldn't we? In such a circumstance. I want to get back as quickly as possible because, well, you know what people are like these days, don't you? Things don't stay around like that anymore. Well, they do in some quarters, fortunately still, but is that an example of faith? Trusting in God? Yes, maybe, but believe in God. What is our belief in God? How much do we trust in him? For ourselves, for today, for one another, for the things that concern us in this world. And I'm sure there are many which do concern us. Major issues. Sometimes we say, I can't grasp that issue, and what can I do about it? Just me, one voter. We're not going to vote for years, are we, anyway? You know, what can I do about it? Write to my MP. Sunday trading is an issue. Have you filled in the petition form? Have you? My name added to theirs and yours and all the others as a last-ditch effort to say to the government, don't do it. And we're grateful to those in the House of Lords who, by one vote, made a little dent in the proposed legislation this last week. What can we do? It's an aspect where perhaps our faith comes into some practical area, you see, because we believe in God, same words, I believe in God. I trust we do. And this week we're to share in the meaning of that belief in our study groups. What it means to believe in God today. You see, we come, well, yes, thirdly, from the present to the future, the past, the building, the present we're in now, the future, where does it lead us to? I trust it's leading us to a greater cooperation as churches. We represent different congregations tonight as we worship together. Just a few weeks ago, many of us were sharing the week of prayer for Christian unity. I was preaching in the Catholic Church in Byfleet. My first invitation to preach in a Catholic Church. I've had a Roman priest in my pulpit before preaching. And this last year we had Cardinal Hume speaking to the Methodist Conference. And his message was all about spirituality. We share more and more. We wonder, where's the future leading us? In fact, the very idea of these Lent house groups is not just this year, but in the next 2 or 3 years, leading us to a new understanding of where the way is forward for all our churches to grow together. And maybe it will be that we shall get to the point where we don't say the Methodist Church in the High Street or wherever it is. It'll be the Christian Church in the High Street. Not the Baptist Church wherever it is, but the Christian Church in Biggs Avenue or wherever. No, the Anglican Church, no, the Christian Church in such and such a place. We shall have the local church, but we shall gradually, get rid of those denominational titles because we are fellow Christians. One in Jesus Christ. One in our belief in God. Sharing the same Father. Sharing in him. We look forward, you see, and we have been worried a little bit in the past because in all our denominations we have fewer people coming forward for the ministry. I seem to have heard 2 or 3 times recently of Catholic schools which have closed. Catholic young people's seminaries have closed because they can't get the youngsters, either the youngsters to go or the staff to staff them. Some elderly nuns have retired and their school has closed. There are no nuns coming to take their place. And we think, oh, there's decline. We've been hearing of decrease in membership and all that sort of thing. Well, I went last Friday, to the Christian Resources Exhibition in the Horticultural Halls, Westminster. I read in the press of 8,000 people who went along there to visit the different stands, and one of the first things you got on entry was a gift of the Baptist Times, actually. That was the first gift. Others were giving away their newspapers. I came away with the Catholic Herald, Church of England newspaper, lots of handouts, giving us information. And it was on the national news this weekend about the Baptist Church has had an increase in membership. And having, along with other denominations, going down steadily, up it comes. And there's rejoicing because here is a major denomination in our country showing an increase in members within the Baptist Union. And that's great. In the Methodist Church, in this particular Methodist district, we showed a slight increase in members 1984 or 1985, but it's last year, just a slight decrease, sadly. But we have an increase in our country in the number of people who are becoming and wanting to train as our lay preachers. Lay preachers. And from the ranks of our lay preachers come our ministers. So the future holds much hope and a sense of growth. And that's the physical and numerical side of it, but what counts most of all, surely, is our faith, is it not? Whether we walk or are trying to walk with Jesus Christ, who believed and walked with his Father. For the Father and I are one. People who are willing to step out in faith and trust, trusting in Jesus, the Saviour of us all. When we come to look at our beliefs, when we come to examine where we stand, we find surely, yeah, I believe that. I believe that. We all believe alike in the end. There is some little differences amongst us which separate us. Is not that true? And we're finding more and more that we have much in common, almost everything in common, because there is only one Lord Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again for me and for you, for each of us, and who says to us, as he said to those people there, well, I give them eternal life, they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them from my care. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. I trust him. He's greater than all. I trust him, do you? And no one can snatch them out of the Father's care, for my Father and I are one. So said Jesus. And he wants us to be one with him, to be one with the Father, to walk with him and go with him and fulfill his will and way in this world. I think as we try to look ahead, we see a promise not of decrease but of increase in the number of those who have faith, who trust him. And we're going to be part of this, well, expansion and growth of God's people and growth of faith as we fulfill his will, trusting him who said, my Father and I are one. Amen. We sing now the hymn number 5 on the sheet. Hymn number 5. Sweet is the work, my God, my King, to praise thy name, give thanks and sing.
Thank you.
join now in prayers of intercession. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we seek your help for your church in the whole world. We're glad that we are part of your great family here on earth. As we think of Christians in every land, so many languages, looking to you, O God, our Heavenly Father, coming to you in the name of Jesus, Saviour and Lord. We thank you that we share a common faith, that you have helped us to trust, to believe. And so we pray for Christians in every land, that you will help us all to raise the cross of Jesus Christ, that more men and women and boys and girls may be drawn to him, our Saviour, and find in him their sins forgiven, find renewed life, and find true purpose in existence. So, Father, bless the church in every land. Especially do we ask you to bless and help Christians who suffer persecution, for whom life is very hard, as they try to witness and be strong in faith. And we ask you to help us, that in this community, more and more may come to him, our Saviour. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Father, hear us as we pray for the nations of the world in their various needs. So we thank you for our land and for our freedom in worship. We think of lands where there is much difficulty and tension. At this time we pray for the countries of Iran and Iraq as they are continuing in warfare. The unsettled lands of Afghanistan, Uganda, the Philippines, Haiti, and others. Lord, there's so much squabbling on this, your earth. May people in positions of responsibility and those who seek leadership seek justice, freedom, and peace for all men. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring to you, O Father, our special needs, things that concern us here, needs within this community, our neighbourhood, our concerns for members of our congregations, those who are not well, those who are sick, those who are troubled. Lord, in our hearts we name them to you. Lord, you know them. If you are our Father, you know all about us. You hear our worries. O Father, may those in need know your strength and help. May we know your guidance to give us the right word, the right gesture, the appropriate action to share your love and care with your people. Lord, in your mercy, O Father God, we ask your special blessing upon this church and its jubilee. May the coming together of members of this congregation, may our gathering together this night, all that takes place this week, be a means of glory to our Saviour Christ, that together your kingdom may grow, your will be done in each of our hearts and the hearts of many more in this community. So, Father, hear our prayers and all the prayers of our hearts, for we ask them all in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. The hymn number 7 on the sheet, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.